Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
Is that a module?
Oh my god, that's me getting ready for the episode, guys.
Hello, hello, hello!
Hello!
You there?
Oh my god, bad start, man.
Hello.
What happened then?
You just froze for me, but I don't know what I did for you. And I was like,
you froze what? For me as well. Oh my god.
No.
Good luck to us. Guys, we've already recorded this episode once and my internet cut out. I have moved house though, so hopefully my internet's not gonna cut out. It'll be fine. I'm going to take the internet off my phone.
How are you, Kat? Other than...
Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling a bit like, where's the sunshine? You know, January, a bit grey.
Where's the snow, Catherine? Where's the snow? Today?
Did you see it?
I did. It didn't settle.
No.
For me, at least, here. But
No, it did not.
I was on a call with somebody in the countryside where they live and working from home, and it had settled for them. So that's nice.
Oh, really? Well, I was walking, like, you know that street by Covent Garden with the Zara on? I can't remember what it's called. It's, like, between Covent Garden and Seven Dials.
Yeah.
I was walking up there, and it was snowing, and there was someone playing, like, a song on the piano. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I turned around to my colleague. I was like, it's really romantic. And she was like, what, me and you walking down the street at lunchtime? And I was like, no, because it's snowing, and there's someone playing the piano.
It reminds me of that, you know, when there's, like, snowfall. But I think of Gone Girl when it's, like, the sugar dust storm, and they're walking through, and it's really romantic, and he wipes it off her, like, lip.
Yeah,
like, it could have been a romantic thing.
Exactly. But last night I just went to the Zara sale. Oops. Did spend some money. But it's fine. It's all good.
How are you? Happy New Year. Do you have any new goals?
I do not have any goals. Well, I have some goals. But I'm going to do yoga January. So I'm going to do yoga every day in January. And I'm on day 8. And I've done it every day so far. So that's good. And yeah, I'm just gonna try and read and write a bit more, you know.
Last year you wrote a blog post about setting a lower reading goal for the year ahead. How did that go for you, and what's your plan for 2024?
So I set a lower reading goal and then I upped it because I hit it. And basically I think my reading pace is just like one book a week, and I think that's just, like, I don't have to try super hard to do that. I don't have to, like, I have to, like, try a bit. Like, I have to, like, make sure that I'm keeping up with my pace. But I don't have to be, like, super pushing myself, because I just think that's, like, the pace that I tend to read at in my current lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But this year I was like, I'm going to up to 60, because I got 58 this year. And I was like, ooh, like, maybe I should push myself a little bit next year and try and get 60. And I think if I hadn't moved house, I might have done. So it's the first time that I've upped it in a while, because I've always, like, I don't want the pressure, but actually I find it quite fun. I'm like, ooh, I swear reading challenge target. Like, when I completed my challenge last year in November, and I went into the office and I was like, guys, I've completed my reading challenge. And my manager was like, what? I was like, I've read 52 books. And she was like, what the fuck, Kath? She's like, so many books. And I was like, yeah. But
it's all the people that do, like, 100 plus books for me, that I'm just like, I'm in awe of your 58 books anyway. But, like,
I think that's a lot. Like, I don't think that's normal. I think that's quite a lot. So for people that read more than that, I'm like, what?
How? My friend, she did 131 last year, and then she goes, oh, I've just set mine to 100 this year because I don't think I'll do 131 again. And I was like, she's already at 3 crazy. Or 4, and it's the 8th of Jan.
Oh my God,
she's fine. She honestly will say this to you, her life is like the gym and books. So
I love that for her.
Yeah, she's got a good balance of fun too.
I love that. Yeah. No, I love that. What about you?
Book
reading goals or normal goals, whatever.
Oh, goals. Yeah. So I actually did like a whole vision board this year.
I love and that.
I did it on Canva on my phone, and then I saved it, and then now it's like one. I've got changing backgrounds on my phone, and so every couple of hours, this like one background will come up just to remind me of what my goals are. Because I've put like three different words there. So my words
are
strong,
goals?
Openness, and consistency. And consistency is my word for the year. So yes. I just want to be consistent with saving. I want to be consistent with this podcast, guys. You've heard this here first. I want to be consistent with my training because I'm doing 2 Hyrux and a half marathon this year. At least that's all in the space of May, let alone anything else that might happen. But so that's
consistency with rest too, please, my friend.
Consistency with rest too. I had a whole month off of training full stop in December, and it
was that
just
was good.
Lovely, because I think I was in a bit of a shithead space after that last high race. I just felt a bit
it's intense
and training for it is intense, and when you're with like-minded people, and as much as I love the people I train with, when you're in it all the time, it's all consuming. So sometimes you just need to step away. And a lot of people, a lot of my friends are doing races in January and February. I'm not, so I don't need to be in that headspace 100% of the time. So I just need to take a step back. That's what I did. And it was great. And everyone told me how well rested I looked.
Oh, wow. We had a nice time. Made a little Christmas.
And then reading goals. I mean, I always set mine low because I don't like the pressure, but I did up it to, it's still low. It's like 25. But then everyone gave me shit on Goodreads.
I know, I saw that. I was like,
we discussed it
at length, what to set your goal to. And then everyone was like shit talking for it. I was like, oops.
I like set it to 35 or 30. I'm like, I'm not.
I think we have the opposite approach. Like, I think it motivates me and I think it demotivates you because you don't like the pressure from it. Well, as I do like the pressure from it.
Yeah.
So you've got to know what's right for you and what will make you feel better about it. And if it's going to stress you out, there's no point, because then it's not going to be fun, and it needs to be fun. Like, reading has to be fun. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. And we've got lots to read this year. Bridget Jones's Diary is actually taking me a lot longer than I thought it would, not because I'm not enjoying it, maybe we can do an episode, because actually it's been quite fun to read it now as a woman in her 30s.
We should do it.
2024, and then compare to when it was written as a woman maybe in the 90s. And then also it's nostalgic, and so much has happened. Like, when you read like the bits where she's like going from 8 to 9 and she's like having a wobble, and I'm like, girl, I'm not even 9. Like, fuck.
Yeah. No, but we should do that, definitely.
Definitely do it. What else have you been doing in the festive period?
What have I been doing? Well, just relaxing. Well, I moved house. So I moved in with my boyfriend, who comes up from time to time. So, yeah, that's exciting.
Sweet, sweet Tom. Sweet, sweet man.
So that was literally my festive period. We moved in together like mid to early December, and then like we're just unpacking and stuff. So I felt like I hadn't seen anyone for like ages. Because we moved in, like, unpacking stuff, then it was Christmas. And then, I just feel like I hadn't seen anyone in ages. I didn't really do loads. And then, obviously, like, saw my family at Christmas. And then New Year's, we had, like, a few people over, which was fun, but I got very drunk. It was bad. And I'm not doing dry January this year. I'm doing damp January. And my definition of damp January is... only drinking like on occasion. So I'm not completely restricting myself, but like this weekend I was in on Friday night and I just had a cup of tea, you know, that kind of thing. But then on Saturday we had Tom's parents here, so we had some wine. So that's my damp jam. What about you?
I watched a lot of stuff because, like I said, I was off. I was off from like the 15th to the 3rd. So lots of time to catch up on TV. And I did what everyone else did and watched Saltburn and May December. Two very fucked films, not to put it lightly. I'll start, both like were up for Golden Globes as well. I don't think either of them got any last night. Well, the Golden
Globes.
That was last
Isn't
night.
Isn't the Emmys like today?
One of the Emmys? Well, I don't know. The Bear got a Golden Globe. So,
oh, I love The Bear.
We love The Bear. Oh, we spoke about that.
Have you seen the Calvin Klein ad?
Yeah, I love Jeremy Allen White though. He's gorgeous.
Oh my God.
He's so hot.
My chin touched the floor when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, he's so beautiful.
He's so hot.
Anyway,
he's so hot.
We digress. Saltburn.
She's like literally chef's kiss. no, he is really hot. I liked everything. And I think I even liked it from our book account as well. So sorry. I don't know where I'd seen it, but I was just liking it. definitely, like, guys, if you know a guy that is as hot as Jeremy Allen White, send him my way. I am single and that's exactly my type, like, just saying. Yes, I watched May December, which is actually based on a true story of a guy, if you don't know, who was in a relationship, and I say that loosely and with like air quotations, with this woman who was like probably three times his age. So and it's like there's like a Bible clip if you haven't seen it, where she's sort of going, but who was in charge, and basically she she was with a 12-year-old when she was 36. I think he was in the 7th grade or something like that. And it's like a well-publicized like thing. So and she was his teacher. So she taught him in the 2nd grade and then taught him again in the 7th grade. Oh, it's so weird. This is the real life story, is that she taught him twice. And when he was in the 7th grade, they began this like affair, even though she was like a married woman with kids. And she went to prison, and when she was in prison, she found out she was pregnant, and every time they let her out of prison, she kept getting pregnant. It's madness. She is no longer with us. She is now dead. And he did divorce her eventually, but not for a very long time. And Charles Melton plays the equivalent person in this film, and it picks up with them as their kids are graduating high school. And
hold on, I have a question.
Yes.
Did she get put in prison because she dated a 12-year-old?
Because she was, molesting a minor. Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. So she kept getting put in prison for this, and they tried to put separation between
and
them.
And the baby was his?
Yeah. So he's got, like, children and everything. Yeah. So, in the film, they pick up
what
with...
What made you watch this film?
Oh, it's on Now TV.
Oh, I've got Sky.
Yeah,
it be
it's on
there?
Now TV, yeah. And it's very good because, so Reggie in Riverdale, the Charles Melton, he plays this guy, and he perfectly, he finds that balance of playing an adult that's probably emotionally stunted because he obviously hasn't processed all of the stuff that's happened to him from adolescence. And it's honestly very, very, very good. All of them very good. So Julianne Moore plays the woman, and Natalie Portman plays this actress, and she's basically going to play
Natalie Portman.
So Natalie Portman plays the actress that's going to portray Julianne Moore's character in a film. And so she goes to meet the couple and like lives with them for a period of time to understand them. And it's very interesting, her approach to research, I would say, as well. So definitely watch that. And then Saltburn, I can't say too much because
to watch it. The classic thing has happened where I haven't watched the thing that everyone else has watched, which is just a story of my life. And Ellie's like, oh, Kath, can you just watch this?
It's a madness. I think about it. I watched it on the weekend and I haven't stopped thinking about it. And every
don't
now
have
and
Amazon Prime.
I'm I'll sort you out, don't worry.
Give us your Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
we'll get Tom on to talk about it, shall we?
Yes, my God. Yes, we'll bring Tom back. So, guys, what I would say is, and there's some of the critique has been that it's very like, where is the word? This guy had like a really great thread. And we'll bring Tom on for this when we can discuss it in more detail. That maybe it paints elite and elitist institutions in Britain as in a much kinder light than it deserves, especially right now. But it is like a view take on the upper class. And I think people felt like maybe Emerald Fennell was too kind because she comes from an upper class background. But it's...
I really want to watch, actually.
Rosamund Pike was amazing. Like, her role, who she was supposed to... Like, really brilliant. Barry Keoghan, bloody hell. The bathtub scene, what have you seen?
No, nothing. Oh, I haven't seen anything. I've heard about the scene.
Do you know what happens in the scene? I hope you don't.
No, I don't. I'm scared watch it. Am I not going to be traumatised? Oh my God, I need to talk about another film in a sec, but am I not going to be traumatised by this? I feel like I'm very sensitive.
It's just, I just know because I don't want to ruin it. I'm so glad. That's the one thing I love about the discourse, right, around this film. No one has ruined that online. And if they have, they've been spoilers, so you don't see it. Like no one has ruined that scene. No one has ruined the other one as well, which I'm so surprised at because everyone talks about the bathtub scene, but the bit in the graveyard.
Okay, we will talk about this another time.
I mean, the whole thing, it's a very interesting take on class and what class looks like in Britain. And also it gave Sophie Ellis-Bextor a number. Was she back in the top 10 with Murder in the Dance Floor after 23 years or something like that?
That's a brilliant song. What a tune.
It's fantastic. It's honestly like you'll enjoy it. So if you haven't seen Saltburn yet, I'm so surprised. Get yourself from Out the Rock and see it, and I'll send you my Amazon Prime. We'll
probably
sort
is
you out.
Like terrible,
and if you're from Amazon listening to this, you didn't hear that.
I did have Amazon Prime for a bit, then I cancelled. I just don't use it. Anyway, besides the point, I watched this. It came out yesterday, the day before yesterday. The film by Dan Levy. You know, the
one on Good Grief. Watching it.
Yeah. The first scene is like so sad. I was like crying my eyes out. And I was like, I don't know if I can watch this.
Is that so? I've only seen up until he goes to the funeral. So you can say up until then.
Yeah. Like, so it's not really a spoiler. It's the premise. Basically, his husband dies. And kind of like the unraveling of it. It's like, I didn't love it. Like, I didn't think, oh my God, I love this film. But I really, you know what I think Dan Levy is like really good at is characters. Like, his friend Sophie is her name. I can't remember what their friends are called, but the girl best friend, she is brilliant. Like, her character is so good. I think it was good, but it kind of lulled a bit in the middle, and I was a bit bored in the middle, but it is good. So I would recommend that. And I love Dan Levy. Like, I just think he's brilliant. So
I do like Dan Levy too. And I did start watching. Why did I stop? Because I wanted to read.
Ah, love it. Music's my ears.
Guys, I want to put together maybe a compilation to put on Instagram or TikTok. I'm not sure yet. But please, this is inspired by my friend who sent a WhatsApp to a group chat where she was basically like, I palmed off a family dinner saying that I had the flu, so I could sit and read some more books, which I just thought was amazing. And I love that energy. You do you, girl.
Oh my God. So, I love it.
I've not gone into detail about exactly what she said she was wrong. If you've ever excused yourself from plans and it's been a ridiculous excuse, please share to read a book, to have some time to read. Please share them with us. You can send it to @wearein DMs and let us know, or you can send us an email.
at we are bookishpod@gmail.com.
There you go. Or maybe are we a bookish podcast? I don't remember what our email address is, but
oh yeah, it's we are bookish pod. We are bookish pod at gmail.com. We're terrible. But yeah, no, that is funny. I really enjoy it. But when you sent that to me, I was like, wait, what? Like, because I saw it on, you know, when you see the preview and it doesn't say forwarded. Yeah. And I was like, I'm so confused right now. You have in-laws? Like, I'm so confused.
When did you get married?
What did I miss? It's been a long Christmas.
So yeah. Anywho, yeah, please send them our way. Yeah. Anyway, we should probably talk about the book we're going to discuss this month.
Which we have already had this discussion, guys.
We've tried.
So, appalls, but it's a bit appalled. I said appall the other day and someone made fun of me and I thought it's probably not something you should say out loud. It's probably just something you should message. So, apologies.
Appalled
that this is late. But then basically, so we recorded, it went wrong, and then I moved house. So that is why this episode is like 2 months late. And then it was Christmas. So we're back.
It just went really wrong. Like, not even just like a little bit
my
wrong.
My audio was missing for like 15 minutes. Ellie was talking to herself. So I don't really know.
We couldn't recover it. And then my sound was really bad, actually. I was like, I can't listen to this. Yeah. It's really distracting. So I was like, oh, well, we'll just do it again.
And then I was just like, you're moving house is stressful, guys. Wouldn't recommend. No, it's obviously worth it, but and then I was like, I can't. But hopefully my Wi-Fi in my new flat is better. Although I have had issues with my work laptop and my Wi-Fi, so we'll see. But it seems to be okay.
This is so much better than the old place. Like, I can see you in like, not in HD, but I can see you.
Well, I'm 99% uploaded, which never happens while we're recording.
No.
Normally, like, guys, my upload will be like 3%, and then I'll have to hotspot my phone after we've stopped recording to upload it. So hopefully it's at least a little bit better. But yeah, so that's the story. But basically, we went to the most fun thing ever. to celebrate the launch of this book. So essentially, I went away to a spa for like 3 days, my mum, and I was just like chilling by the pool. And I get this text from Ellie, and she's like, can we go to this? And I click on the link and I'm like, oh my God, like, yes, we can. So I reply, and then Ellie immediately, she's like, I've bought the tickets. So I just said out loud to my mum, like, oh, me and Ellie are going to Britney Spears Silent Disco at Waterstones. And my mum just sort of looked at me and was like, as if I hadn't spoken English. Like, and she was just like, what? What do you mean? She was like, if that's your idea of fun, then fine. Oh, I mean, but it was fun. Really fun.
It was. It's just like, we're going to a silent disco in Europe's biggest, like, bookshop. And we're just going to sing Britney all night. It was really good. The way they set it up is, what, there was like one channel dedicated to Britney. And then there was like another channel that was dedicated to like pop princesses and pop queens, and
yeah, which was a bit weird actually, but yeah,
it was like a nice palate cleanser, sort of, if there was maybe like,
but Britney's got enough bangers to last us the whole night.
True So and then there was like one other really very random channel that I didn't get at all. I don't know if it was just like 90s stuff, which seemed a little bit more out of place, because I've got like divas of pop. But it was very good, and we had wine, and you could buy the book if you hadn't already got it or didn't get it as part of your ticket. I hope Waterstones do more things like that. If there's any more celeb memoirs with artists,
fun. I really liked it. It was a good way to celebrate the book, and like, obviously it was long awaited, I think, her telling of her story like this. And like, we were like, as soon as we saw it, we were like, we're going. But I listened to it on audiobook, actually.
I did both.
Just because, did you?
Yeah
That should count as two reads.
So I enjoyed hearing, I mean, when you read it, I think all of the things that are glaringly not bad, but all of the so it's not like particularly well written. If to read it, no. It's glaringly obvious. You don't get a sense of that listening to it. She repeats herself a lot. So that's not on Britney, that's down to her editors, right? Like,
Which is poor on their behalf.
Which is poor on their part. But so you can see the glaring errors in written form, but I feel like I'm so glad that I did both. Or maybe I should count that twice. Yeah.
Yeah, you should count it twice, mate. You can change it on Goodreads. You can change, like, you can add the audiobook, can't you, I think?
Yeah, I think I counted as the book. But it was, you listened to, what, on BookBeat?
Yeah, so guys, like, I couldn't get audiobooks on Spotify because I'm on a family plan. And let's just brush over that. And and I was really obsessed about it. And then I cancelled my Audible because I have some books on Audible that I haven't listened to yet. And I was just like racking up the credits. So I cancelled that. And then I saw this thing. It was by an influencer called Sophie Butler. I don't know if you've heard of her. But she kept banging on about it. She had a partnership with them. So she kept banging on about it on her stories. And I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. And I didn't realise, but it's run by a publisher. It's run by... I want to say Bonnier Books, but I don't know. And yeah, it's just like an alternative to Audible and stuff. And it's, I like their pricing structure because basically if you pay like $5.99 a month for like a certain number of hours, and then like if you want more hours, you pay more. So it doesn't really matter, like, so it works out good and bad in some ways. Like, obviously, if on Audible you have one credit and you buy like a 20-hour book, then fine. But like, it's kind of like if you listen to like shorter books, you can listen to more. And I think the pricing works better for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I got a free trial and I've actually cancelled it because I haven't listened to any audiobooks. But I had some on my Audible to finish. But yeah. I think once I've gone through that, I'm gonna get it again because I quite liked it. So yeah, that's my little spiel about BookBeat if you haven't heard of it.
And also to the person who comments, so we did an ins and outs post on Instagram, just quick segue, and we said in is audiobooks, and I've forgotten who's mentioned who the handle is, but she was like, I'm so glad you approved because then I'm just going to listen to audiobooks. And yes, you should. They count as your book read, please, people, because storytelling was once in oral thought form, and we wouldn't have the stories we have now if it weren't for the first people who told stories without having them written down. So take that up your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
Tangent
that
over.
That was actually a girl I went to uni with. Yeah. She was the year above me at uni, and we did like a... I think that's how I know her. Anyway, yeah.
Shout out to that girl.
But yeah.
But anyway, Brittany, some hot takes. Maybe we'll talk about the hot takes that we have from this little anecdote she gave us in this book. I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed her talking about her family. I mean, the bits where she talks about the women in her family, like her grandmother being from Britain and coming over, like, and how she like really admired her and she was all fancy and she spoke with an English British accent.
Funny.
And I thought it was very sweet how much she like sort of adored her gran, and how like the women in her life were, you know, strong matriarchs, you know. That was really lovely to hear how she saw them in her view. I mean, I guess her relationship with her mum is a different story, but
yeah. And I think obviously women, like being a woman in the public eye, it's obviously like a big part of the story. So it's like quite interesting that she tells those stories about her family and the women in her family, and how she wasn't allowed to see some of them, was she?
Because one of them was a bit wild or something, got into an accident, and then her mum was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, so I thought that was quite interesting. What's the word? Oh my God. What's the word? It's like a pre-warning, not a pre-warning, but like a...
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
Not a precursor.
What is
foreshadowing? No.
Kind of, yeah. A little bit. My brain, like, it's a Monday evening, guys. I've been at work all day. I can't think the word.
Yeah, I also like that she talks about, you know, she did these like competitions in her hometown. Her family's like, oh, she's winning all of these. They took her to more like national competitions, like singing and dancing, that kind of stuff. And through doing those, she ended up at the Mickey Mouse Club, and she talks about her time there. She talks about meeting Justin Timberlake for the first time there. And then she talks about how when the Mickey Mouse Club ended, she had decided that she was just going to go back and be a kid, and that was like really important to her. And then she talks about like her first boyfriends, like her first time she smoked a cigarette, first time she like, she used to play basketball. She was a basketball girl. She wasn't like cheerleading. She was like, hey, I played basketball, my family played basketball, my brother did, my dad did, I did. That was her life, and I really liked that. And she talks about having sex for the first time, like all of those things. And we just got like an insight into what it was like to be young Britney and then adolescent Britney before she then went back into being like pop star Britney. And I think she got to a point where she was like, okay, I want to go back to doing it. But it was good that she could
have
that detour, because sometimes I don't think many child actors get to do that.
I also love how much she loves performing, or loved
or did
she,
love,
because I think she talks about like some of the stuff, and she was just like, but I just loved performing, like that's what I wanted to do. And like, I think that's nice that we know that about her, that she really loved a lot of it to start with, you know. I also found the Mickey Mouse Club, is that what it's called? Really interesting. I didn't really know about that. But I mean, that's just me, isn't it? I don't really know any celeb stuff. I'm like so out of the loop of everything all the time. And he's like, how do you not know that? But I thought it was cool.
Yeah, because what, Christina came for it, Ryan Gosling came for it, Justin Timberlake came through it, like loads of people.
Yeah.
So it's like always fun to see those clips of them as kids. Like, I mean, it was before my time anyway. Like, I would have been a baby when they were doing all that stuff, but it was all the same, like very nice. And also it's like a blueprint, right? Because then you see all these Disney kids come up today.
Yeah, it's the same thing, similar things. Basically. Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, I think I was saying something. Oh, I think it was, oh, we played this game at Christmas and it's like, who am I or something? And you had like four or five clues and you got more points. If you guessed it on the first clue, you got like 5 points. If you guessed it on the last clue, you got like 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the answers was, it was my brothers on the team and then me and my mom. And my brothers like got Selena Gomez, and I knew from like the second clue that it was Selena Gomez, and they were there like, we don't know who this is. And then I was like, then if you don't get it, the other team gets to guess. And I was like, it's Selena Gomez, and I was like, she's a Disney kid. And then everyone's just looking at me like, okay.
Yeah, sure, okay, whatever. It's interesting though, because I feel like we grew up with like Selena Gomez and Miley Cyrus and the twins, you know, the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody twins. Who are they?
I don't know what their names are.
Sprouse Bros. I'm a bit older than you, do not.
I watched it. I just don't know what their names are.
I can't remember that. I was like, what's their name? Raven Simone.
Oh my God, That's So Raven was such a good show. That was my favourite show.
It's just brilliant. So
the way
good.
She had the visions.
It's good. The future she can see.
Didn't they try and do like a reboot or a spin-off or something? And it just,
I think,
flopped.
You can still watch it. I don't know if it's still going. I think it may be.
That was a good show though. You can probably get it on Disney Plus, can't you?
Yeah. I haven't looked.
Was it Disney? Or was Disney it Nickelodeon?
Plus. Disney Plus. Disney. Because then on Nickelodeon you had like Amanda Bynes and Kenan and Cal and like,
oh yeah,
all that stuff. And so it's interesting how some people sort of was able to do the transition from child actor into, you know, adult, full grown And some people were given the grace to do it, and then others weren't. And I think women have a harder time
100%
of it. I mean, I know there's some men that really struggle with it too. I'm not going to have that conversation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but generally.
Generally. Yeah. Well, because, you know, she says in the book, Brittany, she was sexualized from a very young age.
Some of the points that I found, stories or anecdotes that I found really, quite hard to listen to in a way, were, some of the stuff about, some of the music videos and stuff, and how they, because you don't really think about it. Like, if you actually think about the video where she's dressed as like a sexy schoolgirl, it's actually really messed up.
I think she suggested that though.
Yeah, but she was really young, wasn't she?
I think her point of view on that was that, because I don't know, they didn't want to do it at first, and she was just like, well, I'm thinking about what my friends would want to be doing and what they would be seeing, and I would be in school, so let's just do that. That was her take on it. I mean, now it's been sexualized as what the vision was, and it very well executed. It launched her career what it became. But her vision was this because it was what her friends would be doing. That the lyrics of the song lent itself to what she was doing at that age of 15 or 16. Yeah,
but it is messed up that it's so sexualized.
Oh, it's so sexualized. Yeah. But then people take it, interpret it, it becomes something else. It's not yours. Once you give it to the world, it doesn't belong to you anymore. She talks about interviews as well, when she talks about how she'd go on to these late night evening shows, and in comparison to NSYNC at the time, because they were coming up together, get asked different kinds of questions, and then when she was asked anything, it was about her body, or it'd be criticism for the way that she dressed,
her relationships,
or when she's gonna get pregnant, or the size of her boot. It was madness.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things that came out of it, when it was released and in the press and stuff, was Justin Timberlake and the way he treated her and the way he treated the situation and profited off the situation, when actually he'd just been a terrible, terrible person to her. And actually the narrator that did the audiobook has been praised for her impression of him.
Oh yeah, genuine, bullshit.
I hear it all the time.
Oh my god. He did profit off that breakup. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Loads, actually. It propelled his career.
He essentially was just a fuck boy. He's a young boy in his 20s and he's famous. Fine, okay. But shit. That's shit. That's actually just shit. But it's shit in real life anyway. It's then the fact that he profited off her. She didn't get to grieve it. No one let her grieve it.
Nope.
She just had to work.
And also, kind of his decision, the way she, her side of the story basically is that it was kind of his decision, and then he just doesn't really
And then that narrative was taken and run with. So she kissed one guy once, but he cheated on her multiple times, allegedly. Just in case we cover ourselves, we're a small book podcast. You can't sue us for nothing. We've got nothing.
what it suggests in the book, basically,
is that she's and it's documented. She kissed Wade Robson. It was suggested out there before this book came out that she had had this affair with him, but she was like, "No, I only kissed him once." But Justin was out here putting it anywhere he wanted to, and everyone knew it. And yet, I was the one who got the bad rap for our breakup, when she was planning cutesy denim outfits with him. This guy is a dick.
Yeah, and then her later relationship, where she had the divorce, and she talks about how she was basically when she then has her, she's basically made to ask for the divorce, and then she's made out to be the bad person because she asked for the divorce. I was on the bus to work when I was listening to it, and I was like, oh my god.
That made me so angry. I was like, yeah, because he gets the better rap from it. Did he really think it was going to sink her career, and he would go up and be what? You're a waste of space, mate. Everyone already knew what you were like when you left Shah Jackson anyway. That's what she says, and she mentions, sorry, I've gone on a tangent. Because Kevin Federline was with well documented. He was with a woman called Shar Jackson, who used to be on Moesha, and I love that program. It hasn't aged very well, but at the time I absolutely loved it. And he left her and she had kids with him. Brittany said that she didn't know about them at the time, but I think actually it's well documented that she would have had an idea. But she Maybe said that she didn't, like,
ignored
she didn't
it.
Have good people around her. She's never had good people around her to tell her that from the start when Kevin came on the scene that he's probably not for you. Do you know what I mean? She said, I didn't have the right people around me who would have told me, don't go there. But she was desperate. She was lonely for love. She was lonely. She loved, you know.
She wanted to be loved.
She wanted to be loved, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we hadn't even talked about, yeah, about her parents, really. But, no. Like, it's no wonder that she was craving that love so much. Like, I just can't really, like, get my head around how it was legal. Like, I find it really hard to, like, understand how something like that can happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know how it happened, but, like, I just think it's wild.
If anyone understands conservatorships, and yeah, because it's a weird thing, and she says it. Oh my god, she says it. And I marked the pages, and I can't find them now. And I literally have it.
What are you going to refer to?
Where she's about her conservatorship. So if she is okay,
you've
I've got it.
Some page. You got it.
237. The hardest part was that I believed that in front of the doctors or visitors, I had to pretend the whole time I was okay. If I became flustered, it was taken as evidence that I wasn't improving. If I got upset and asserted myself, I was out of control and crazy. It reminded me of what I'd always heard about the way they test to see if someone was a witch in the olden days. They throw the woman into a pond. If she floated, she was a witch and would be killed. If she sank, she was innocent and, oh well. She was dead either way, but I guess they figured it was still good to know what kind of woman she'd been.
Mm. Yeah.
Matt, it's just a way to control her, right? So if she seemed sane, then, oh, obviously she's out of control. And if she was, like, the other way, then she's all she, you know? Like, it was just, like, so what is she supposed to be then? How is she supposed to behave? Like,
I know.
There was, like, a, if she's well, then she can't be, she can't. Well, then that's not right. And madness.
I know.
And but madness. Her dad had those tendencies. You know, she gives you a background of how she grew up. You know, he is an alcoholic. He was very controlling. He used to gamble and spend all their money. So it was a money play to keep her in that conservatorship because it kept him rich. And her mum was a loose unit.
And she does talk about how her dad suffered. Like quite a lot of abuse from his parents as well, so he's like she kind of like touches on the fact that she can understand how he got to that point, but like does not excusing it, but just like from like a psychological point of view, like
he's a product of his environment. He had hard he had hard parents, and therefore he was hard on his, you know, it's a cycle of abuse, right? And his relationship with her mum was hella hectic. They were, didn't they divorce at one point?
Yeah, and then they got back together. I think. Did they?
Yeah, I think they divorced and got back together. And maybe then, no, they're definitely divorced now because I think he's with that witch that put him in the conservatorship. But they have been divorced and.
But don't you think it's really interesting that, like, for, because we, like, obviously when we were younger, like, Britney was just like massive pop star, and then like. As like over the years, like there's been all these movies like Free Britney and all this stuff, and now she's out and there's like this new era of her. Like, do you remember then she posted all that stuff on Instagram and everyone was like, oh my god, is she all right? And actually she does touch on that in the book, doesn't she?
Yes. I can find that. It's on page 2. If you are listening to it, it's chapter 48. And
she's with the notes this time. I like
with
it.
The notes.
Yes.
Oh my god, is this the right page?
Page 267. Are you on? No?
Oh my god, it's not this page.
Oh
no, it's page 270. Sorry. Page 270 is still the same chapter. So okay. She goes, I know that a lot of people don't understand why I love taking pictures of myself naked or in new dresses. But I think if they they'd been photographed by other people thousands of times, plotted and posed for other people's approval, they'd understand that I got a lot of joy from posing the way I feel sexy and taking my own picture, doing whatever I want with it.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, she says, I was born into this world naked, and I honestly feel like the weight of the world has been on my shoulders. I wanted to see myself lighter and freer. As a baby, I had my whole life in front of me, and that's how I feel like now, like a blank slate.
I just feel really bad for her.
I do. She's had her life robbed from her she's never had anyone. She hasn't had the right support around her, and everyone needed therapy. Her dad needed therapy, her mum needed therapy, like her brother. Everyone needed to go through some kind of counselling.
You're so right.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, I wonder what would have happened now. Just because, like, at the time, like, yeah, like, we were in the beginning, like, obviously the press were heavily involved.
Oh.
The press were, like, narrating the narrative in the way they wanted to. But now with social media and stuff, like, how things might have been different.
Yeah.
And if she'd had her own platform to voice her own version of events every time. So, like, she talks about, like, a lot of, like, the shots that are, like, famous. Like, yeah. When she, like, shaves her head and stuff, that's obviously, like, the most famous, like, everybody knows about that.
Yeah.
And it's like hundreds and thousands of memes and all the rest of it. And she's got her own version of those events. And if there was social media in the same way that there is now, then, like, how would that have played out differently if she'd had her own platform in order to, like, tell everyone what actually happened on that day? Like,
yeah,
after the fact that she's got her own story out there and it's not just what the press are saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's fortunate that a lot of these, like, young actors now do have that, and hopefully, you know, they've got the right people around them that when they do put their stories forward, it's their stories to be, you know, it's not manipulated.
I guess, like, social media does add a lot of, like, negative stuff as well and a lot more complexity to a lot of situations, but I just wonder how it would play out differently.
Yeah, I feel like, because maybe Miley Cyrus would have had social media. Right, because I always think of her, I feel like they were, you know, when she had the breakup with Liam the first time, she came out with Bangers, which is a brilliant album.
Yeah.
And she's twerking on a teddy bear, how she's gone off the rails. And it's just like, well, you know what, luckily we're in a place where social media was like a thing possibly at that point. She could just put out her own, she could just be like, fuck off, fuck you. She could say, she literally was just like, no, you're not gonna do that. They weren't given the grace to grow up. And that whole period, I think, when the press was particularly bad, when she was going out with Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan at that time, she was like, I'd broken up with, like, the love of my life at that point. And I didn't get time. No one gave me time to just be, like, sad about it. You know, lonely girl, hot, you know.
Well, breakups are so hard. Exactly. Like, especially, like, I can't imagine having a breakup in the public eye like that. Like, it's just awful. Like, they're so hard without all of that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then I think, oh gosh, because even all of those women, even like Paris and Lindsay, they were victims of
that memoir.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I won't be reading that.
I'm so happy for her and Paris. Paris's memoir is supposed to be actually very good.
Is it?
Yes. As told by Jack Edwards, he put it like number two on his like ranking list.
There's a whole podcast, isn't there, that just celebrity memoirs. Maybe I'll listen to that and see what they say about it.
Did you watch her YouTube documentary about, she's got an interesting life when you because she's been in those, like, she was in those you know, when they send your kids off to boot camp for being, like, unruly. And but they're, like, actually really, like, really abusive hell.
Yeah.
Hell spaces.
She went to one of them?
She went to one of them. It was, like, they dragged her out of bed and took it. And it's, like, physically abusive, could be sexually abusive if you're with like all of these things. Her parents were like, she's unruly, we're putting in this thing. And then they used to lie to the parents about them. So it's like, oh, your daughter's going to call you in half an hour. She tells you that we're doing X, Y, and Z, then that's a lie. They're just saying that to manipulate you to have you come take you back home. But these things were actually genuinely happening. And they're all like seriously traumatized by it. So she was saying in her documentary, like, oh, like, all I want to do is make as much money as I can, because then that's my freedom, because then no one can ever trap me in anything like that again. And that was her motivation to be successful.
Usher Britney.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's got 4.23 stars on Goodreads.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
That's quite high. I'm going to add it.
He put that too, and he put green lights at like 4. And he said of his ranking of 5, everything from 3 up, or ranking of 6, the first 3 were amazing.
And what, is then this his memoirs ranking?
Memoirs. So his memoirs
ranking. What was number 1?
Viola Davis.
Okay.
So Viola Davis, Paris Hilton, Trevor Noah. Then it goes, I can't remember who it was. I think Trevor Noah. Then it went Harry. And he said from 4 downwards, it drops off significantly. So it's like Harry's memoir.
Harry was number 4?
Yeah. So he said there's a big jump between 4 and 3. So 3, Harry's memoir, Green Lights, and then
I love Green Lights.
Matthew Perry's memoir, which
I don't think I can read that. I'd be really upset.
Obviously, he posted that before he died. So he was a little bit more, not scathing, but he was a bit more like critical about it. He was just like, oh, it's just very not congratulatory, but self.
The thing is, though, a memoir is a memoir, isn't it? I don't know. Like, the best, where's it? Was, I'm glad my mum died not on the list.
He didn't include it on that list because it's separate. So he's like, that's the best one. Of everything, it's the best one, but I'm not including it. He's like, I read that. Yeah. I was like, this is brilliant. This is what spurred me to do this ranking. I'm not including in that because it's just beyond anything I've ever read.
Because that is honestly incredible. Listen to our episode on that, guys.
It's very good. I'd be interested to listen to Viola Davis's one because she got it made her an EGOT, didn't it? She got an Emmy. She had an Emmy. She had a Grammy. She had an Emmy. She had an Oscar. She had a Tony. And this gave her the Grammy because of the way you get a Grammy for spoken word. So now she's an EGOT because of it.
Oh, okay. Add that to the list as well then.
So, yeah.
Oh, it was an Oprah's book club one. Did you know that?
No, I did not know.
I love a memoir every now and again.
We do love a memoir. It's interesting to hear about people's, and some of them are really very well written, like I'm glad my mum died.
I'm reading a memoir.
What are you reading?
Stephen King. Ah! On writing. It's part memoir, part book about reading. Book about writing, sorry. There you go. I've not actually read any Stephen King's novels. That's my confession. I've never read a Stephen King novel, and I'm reading his memoir. But it's just not the genre for me. But I admire him.
Basically, we're wussies. We're big,
silly. I'm very sensitive.
Scaredy, catty girls.
Soul.
Yeah,
we're just sensitive souls, Ellie, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I've got Catherine. If you're listening to this, I still have Stephen King's The Shining on my bookcase. I do intend to read
Catherine.
It.
Different Catherine.
The plan is to read it when I'm on holiday and I have it sandwiched between two happy things.
I think I could probably read The Shining because I've watched the film.
Yeah,
so I know
same.
What happens.
That's the only reason I said I'd read it.
Yeah. I do need to read. I mean, if I read his memoir, then I've read a Stephen King, haven't I? And I've always wanted to read it. Apparently it's amazing.
What about like The Green Mile, reading that?
Yeah, I do it one day. Like, I definitely, like, there are books in my, like, list of, like, books I need to read one day kind of thing. And I think it'll be one of those things that, like, if I'm on holiday, and you know sometimes you go to, like, a holiday let and they have, like, loads of books. There's always, like, a Stephen King in that. Do you know what I mean? Like, something like that. And they always pick it up and read it when I'm there kind of thing.
I think my friend, is it called Stefan's Game? I can't remember what it is. She absolutely loves, like, The Fans Game. I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know.
But I can't remember. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Anyway, Brittany,
I think Brittany's definitely worth reading, but it's not very well. It isn't well written, but I don't think that's why you would read it or listen to it. Like, it's because you want to know Brittany's story.
Yeah, exactly. So, give her the space to tell it, guys, without being overly critical about
the manner. She's not a writer, is she? Like,
she's not a writer, no.
She's, you know, that's fine.
I'm so glad that we've spent the last God knows how many years, is she in her 40s now, must be, hearing what everyone else has to say about Brittany and not ever hearing it from her herself. And she talks about the ending of the conservatorship. She doesn't really go into too much detail about, she talks about how it happened and then some lightly touches on some other bits, but you know, I think it's well documented, and also she's still traumatized, so it's fine.
And I kind of like how we get like the lead up to, like, because we know what happened, we know like the facts of the conservatorship. Why is this word so hard to say? Anyway, we know the facts, right? Because they are, as you said, well documented. But like, it's just good to hear like her side of the story, and also just like for her to have that platform to tell it. And let's see what happens next.
Let's absolutely see what happens next. I mean, she's said recently that she will never perform again. I hope that she will find the joy in that for herself again, just for herself. And then,
well,
she's
been writing songs, hasn't she, for other people, which is lovely.
Yeah. Oh my God, there's so much money in songwriting. My God. And if she ever then does find the joy in it to share with the world, I will be there with my money. Take it. I will happily come see you. Brittany, but do that for yourself, not for anyone else.
Yeah, and just remember, guys, celebrities are people.
Yes, even us. I mean, we sit here and we talk about TV programs and we might slate people, but we're only slating what we've seen, not the actual person themselves. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
We're going on an hour of television or whatever.
Exactly. I think we're all right.
We're just reacting to edited content. Doesn't necessarily mean actually mean that. So think before you write horrible things in comments.
Even if I've read a terrible book, I wouldn't want to be like, this is terrible. Apart from the love hypothesis, because I will die on this hill. Why has it got such a good Goodreads rating? I'm so, guys, if somebody can tell me why they like the love hypothesis, please send me a message. Please tell me why you liked it.
In the essay, I will give a cap that this isn't trash.
I'm so baffled. Because I'm not going to get into it. So it's fair enough. No, I can't. I think we end it there.
No. If there's any books that you want us to speak about, chat about, then drop us a line in at We Are Bookish Pod. On social, We Are Bookish Podcast at gmail.com. I think that's right.
We got an email right this time.
Jesus Christ. And we'll consider them. We'll do them. We've got some fun things planned this year, so.
Yes, we have, which we need to book actually. But anyway. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.